Hey, everybody. Why was I out all last week? Well, the amazing news, a gift from the Lord. Listen to this and celebrate alongside of us. And if you want to become a member, become members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. It's why I was out all last week. And it's all good news. Finally, some good stuff to share. And then my analysis of what it means that Joe Biden suddenly wants to debate Donald Trump. It is very important to analyze this. So check it out and text this episode to your friends and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Again, become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
I am back in the chair, and no, I'm not yet in the studio. I am broadcasting from my home studio in my library. And, you know, a lot of you guys were so sweet last week. You were emailing us, Charlie, hope you're enjoying your vacation. Charlie, hope you're enjoying your time off. Charlie, hope you went to somewhere nice. And I did enjoy last week, but it was not a vacation. I was on assignment for the most important thing that one can do, except giving your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Erica and I and our family were celebrating the birth of our son. Children are a gift from the Lord, and we were celebrating. And so we have been very sleep deprived. So it's not exactly been, let's just say, going down to Cabo San Lucas. Plus, we have our other little one, our 20-month-old, who is running around and causing all sorts of havoc. But I think we have a picture to show up on screen here. And I got to just be honest, it is the most important, most fulfilling, most challenging thing I have ever done and we have ever done. And we are filled with so much joy and thrilled. And he's super healthy, praise God. And Erica's just doing amazing. And Erica did so, so well. I got to be honest, there was a lot going into that whole situation, and we're going to keep that private. And, you know, we're a very private family in the sense where we don't like necessarily always sharing about family stuff. And, you know, we wanted to give a whole week just to kind of let things settle. And, you know, as you spend a lot of time when you have a child just kind of sitting and thinking and not sleeping and listening to podcasts, and, you know, you're looking at this unbelievably innocent life, which, by the way, he was a life in the womb too. And that's what's just so amazing is that it's not all of a sudden that the human life just kind of, it doesn't become magically a human life as soon as the baby exits the womb. It's like life in the womb, life outside of the womb, same characteristics, same heartbeat, all of it. So I'd love to have a pro-abortion fanatic explain that. However, you look at this totally innocent life that has just entered the world and you say, my goodness, like what are we giving them? We're destroying this beautiful country, and not to mention the $35 trillion in debt, the wide open border, and it should convict you to fight harder. It should convict all of us when you look at what we are handing down. We are stealing their inheritance. While they're still not even able to talk and able to know anything about what's going on in the world around them, we are robbing them blind. I believe it is one of the great actions of immorality that we've ever seen. It is generational theft, and it's really bad right now for Generation Z. I mean, I think they call it Generation Alpha? Is that right? Generation Alpha, or whatever generation he's in. It is outright highway robbery. This is the bandit class. That's what these people are. The ruling class has become the bandit class, and they steal for a living. They steal their rights. They steal the sovereignty of the country. They steal the fiscal and financial solvency of this nation. And it convicts us to fight. It convicts us to fight harder. And so, yes, I was off last week. Andrew did an amazing job. I want to shout out Andrew and the entire team. Daisy, I heard, went on the program too. She did very, very well. And I was getting, you know, all these people texting me. Some people said, Charlie, hope you're enjoying your vacation. Andrew is doing so great. I said, okay, well, you know, not a vacation, but I'm really glad the team is doing really well. And so praise God, glory be to God. And it's not easy. And I want to just be very clear about that. The having children is challenging, but it is infinitely fulfilling. It is a daily grind and a daily challenge. And you realize you're not the most important thing in the world. Having children is the antidote to narcissism. If you have any sort of narcissistic, self-indulgent, I'm the most important thing in the world, that dies as soon as you have a child. And you die to yourself. And honestly, I think that's a really beautiful thing. I think it's missing in our country. I think that, well, first of all, we are now, Eric and I are now officially doing our part to reverse the fertility crisis, doing a small part. I hope everyone else it plays your role too, because we are now below replacement levels. It is the lowest fertility rate in American history. And family is the cornerstone of any civilization. But I look around and everything is all about me. It's about I, and it's not about duty. It's not about obligation. Having children, by definition, makes you recognize and realize that I'm not as important as I might have thought I once was. And I mean, Jesus says, you know, you must take up your cross daily. I can tell you this, having children will help you get there. You don't get all the sleep you want to get. You don't get all the fun times with your friends. I mean, don't get me wrong. You get real joy. You have more fun raising kids than like going out to the bar and doing whatever, you know, the late 20-something and early 30-somethings do. But the fulfilling things are the most challenging things, and you go on an adventure that is rich in fulfillment, an adventure that nourishes your soul. A close friend of mine, they have a mother-in-law that's passing away, unfortunately. All she thought about in her last couple of weeks and days, the only thing was her family. And I've seen this play out time and time again, where people at the end of life, and it's not about, wow, you know, I'm so glad that I visited Vienna that second time. Like, okay, that's fine. It's great. No, it's, were you fruitful and multiply? And I totally understand some of you in the audience have difficulty having kids. There's a real fertility crisis. I think we're being poisoned to this country, separate issue. I understand some of you have not been able to find a partner. Not the point. But those of you that are able to have children and don't have those issues and you choose not to, I think you're making a big mistake. And I'm not just saying a mistake for the country, the civilization. I think that you're going to be at the end of life and what? You're going to have like a bunch of trinkets or a bunch of like really cool Instagram posts. And you build a repository of shared memories and experiences with only your family, your wife, and your kids. You will only share that much of your life with those closest to you. It's so incredibly worthwhile, and you build a legacy. And you start worrying about stuff when you're a parent that you don't worry about otherwise. And it keeps you on edge, and you're not always able to like relax and have that work-life balance. It's all a bunch of trash. But you do something that outlives you. And honestly, it's good for the country and good for the civilization. You want to know, it's so simple. You want to know how we save the country? We raise more good people. You save the country. If we raise more good people than bad people, more righteous people, people that love the Lord and love liberty and love our nation, then we win. It's simple math. So if the good people no longer have children, or if the good people have a lot of children, well, then that's a predictive element of the country you're going to live in. Kids and having children reframes everything on how you think about society. For example, when you go to the hospital, all of a sudden you're like, well, why is this overrun by illegals? Like, why don't I get prioritization? You think about crime. You think about schools. You think about food. You think about movies. You think about the politics of the city. And the world really belongs to the people who show up for it. And I'm not in any way, you know, trying to make you feel bad if the Lord did not bless you with children. In fact, there is a scripture, I'll find you, that God has a special heart for the childless. The faithful and the childless, God has a special heart for. I totally get that. But if you are in a place where you say, I can, but I choose not to, or you're like one of these weird girls that like get your tubes tied like at 28 because you're like, I'm not going to have children. Okay, that's a big problem. I really think so. And I think that having children is good for the society, the civilization, and good for you. And so children are a gift from the Lord. And we need to celebrate that more. And we need to be honest. It's not easy, but it is fulfilling. And it pleases the Lord when you raise children. And so I encourage all of you to have more kids and to celebrate life coming into this world.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com.
I do want to read this email. I think it's very touching. And I'm not trying to be cruel or to make anyone feel bad. I just want to celebrate life coming into the world, which we all should all celebrate, obviously. Then I want to get to the debates. I have a lot to say about this debate news because I missed all of that last week. And I have several thoughts that might actually take up the entire hour. And then I also want to talk about all the recent vaccine news because I think it ties in with Trump and RFK. So I'm kind of playing catch up here. However, I want to just read this email. Congratulations, Charlie, to your wife. It is true about the later years in life. I decided to be a pediatrician rather than marriage and children. I felt it was God's will. But now I'm 66 years old. My parents are gone. I have no family at all. This is really when it hits women who choose career over children. I saw some women who tried both, but children and family suffered. I wish I had done it differently. I have many years ahead of me, but hopefully it'll be without family and loved ones. Hopefully it will be without family and loved ones. Friends only go so far and fill in the space. I think she says, hopefully it will be with, I think which meant right. Susan, God has a plan for you. And I hear your regret in your voice, but it's not too late to help other people with their children, or not too late to do something impactful for the next generation. The fact you're watching this program and care about children and you're a pediatrician, I know you've done a lot of good. I only read that on air so that people can hear that because I think you would want that lament shared. Okay, so the debates. So yesterday, last week, was getting so many text messages from people. They said, Charlie, what do you think about the fact that Donald Trump was agreeing to debate and agreeing to debate? I said, guys, I'm a little busy right now, handling a couple things, managing a couple stuff. But I had a lot of thoughts on this. And so I was very encouraged by the fact that out of nowhere, Joe Biden takes up Donald Trump on his longstanding offer to debate. This is the first and immediate takeaway that I think most people are missing. It is now proven that the internal polling in the Biden campaign means he knows he's losing. This means that Joe Biden's own data is showing that he is losing. This shows that Joe Biden knows that his own internal tracking is not on pace. And if the election were held today, Joe Biden does not feel good about his chances. There is no other reason why Joe Biden out of nowhere would agree to go and to debate Donald Trump. A confident campaign does not engage in debates. The best example of this is Donald Trump not debating in the Republican primary this last year. It was the right move for Donald Trump. I'm up 20 or 30 points on these people. I don't need to debate them. So the first takeaway should be unbelievably encouraging for you, because we have been just bombarded with negative news and negative news. And do we have a chance? Not only do we have a chance, but Joe Biden agreeing for four debates with Donald Trump goes to show that Joe Biden believes he needs to take a risk. Biden needs to take a risk and he needs to shake it up. And Biden is the one who needs to roll the dice and introduce some chaos. Now, I'm going to walk through with this into great detail, because I believe that this is largely a trap. It's a trap that I think that Donald Trump can use against them. I think Donald Trump can navigate it. I think Donald Trump can come out triumphant. But we must be very clear, this is not just all roses and beautiful times ahead. This is a thicket and a thorn. It's a thicket of traps. It is going to be an ambush campaign by the Biden campaign via CNN. However, understand, on Sunday of last week, that New York Times Siena poll came out that showed Donald Trump up like 13 in Nevada and 7 points in Arizona and 6 points in Georgia. And we said, boy, these numbers, there's no way they're true. And then 48 hours later, Joe Biden says, how many debates can we agree to? That means that Joe Biden has consistent internal polling. Now, for those that do not know, internal campaign polling is far more accurate than the publicized polls from news agencies. Now, I run an outside group, Turning Point Action, so I'm not allowed to even learn about internal polling. But back when I used to not run an outside group, and way back when, 5, 6, 10 years ago, I would always ask campaigns, what do your internals show? And just so you understand, Donald Trump and Joe Biden will spend tens of millions of dollars on just polling. They have in-house pollsters that all they're doing is they're constantly polling. You might say, well, why are they doing that? Well, because they want to know how they're tracking in certain states. Did this scandal or did this news story impact voters? Do we want to spend advertising money here? What door should we knock on? Measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. And so Fabrizio does all the polling for Donald Trump. I don't know who does all the polling for Joe Biden. But by a candidate's action, you can then get a window into the internal polling. This is one of the invisible things that having a lots and lots of money gets you. And Joe Biden has lots of money, endless data. And that endless data that Joe Biden has was screaming at him. And I'm going to tell you what that data irrefutably showed that I think every other show has been missing. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts the last week.
Look, for over 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. The only. When I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Patriot Mobile is a proud supporter of the show, and I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching quite easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code CHARLIE. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. They have all three major networks. Check it out right now. patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Okay, back to the debates, because this is the big news of the summer. And there's a debate whether or not there's going to be four debates or not. So let's talk about just the unusual aspect of this, that there's a summer debate. Now, Blake can fact check me. In my lifetime, I can say certainly there's never been a summer debate. There's never been a debate before like September 10th in modern presidential debate history. That's number one. Number two, I don't think there's ever been a summer debate. Maybe, boy, I mean, the Lincoln-Douglas debates weren't presidential debates, but it's just usually it's always after the convention. So debates were traditionally always late because remember, we used to have election day and not election month. This is pre-convention, and this sidesteps the Presidential Commission on Debates. This is just a cable television spectacle. So let me tell you what Joe Biden's data is screaming at him. Joe Biden's data is screaming this, that he's doing poorly. Number one, that Joe Biden is doing poorly. No spin, no BS. Joe Biden is unpopular. Donald Trump is popular. The trials are not working. The lawfare is not working. Joe Biden waited for the Alvin Bragg trial to get going before he agreed to any debates. This is all harmonized. There is synchronicity here where Joe Biden needed to wait to say, huh, are his numbers going to go down because he's sitting in a courthouse in New York? Nope. Is Donald Trump going to become less popular because of the Stormy Daniels? Like, nope. Is Donald Trump going to be hurt by the fact that he can't campaign and hasn't visited Arizona in like a year and a half? Nope. So Joe Biden, again, not him, but his team. Let me be very clear. When I say Joe Biden, I mean the cabal. I mean the ruling class. I mean the regime. So the Joe Biden regime was analyzing this data. And they realized that the lawfare not working. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we got all that news of motions to dismiss and delayed without any further notice. And the documents case is not going to come in. And Jack Smith has to have an evidentiary hearing. And so all the lawfare stuff that could hurt Donald Trump's numbers, that all got put aside. So Joe Biden has been running out of tricks up his sleeve. But make no mistake, don't be surprised if there's bird flu, cow flu, reptile flu, snake flu, rattlesnake flu, you know, something that's going to come out of here. Lobster flu, you know, the lobstermen in Maine are getting the flu from, you know, the mollusks that they're harvesting up there. Something's going to happen. Okay. So just understand that there's going to be something that is going to sweep over the nation. And they got something up their sleeve. So Joe Biden sees two pieces of data. And the first piece of data, I think some people are highlighting. Oh yeah, Joe Biden is desperate. Therefore, he wants the debate. But the second piece of data that I think we must understand is that Joe Biden has evidence that leads him to believe the fact that Donald Trump has been largely censored, not on Twitter anymore. He's allowed back on, but he doesn't do it. They don't air his rallies on television anymore. That the memory of Donald Trump is far more popular than when people actually sometimes hear from Trump. Now, I don't necessarily think that's always true, but that's Joe Biden's big bet. Joe Biden's big bet is this. We need to get him on television as much as possible. We need to get Donald Trump in a contentious debate format. Now, this could go either way. And we have to understand, CNN is an ambush waiting to happen. That is not exactly going to be easy stuff. And understand, Trump has been very successful using the breakouts of the trial as campaign moments, going to the race in southern Florida, going to the bodega, going to the Bronx, doing all of that. He has been amazing at creating these viral moments. And Joe Biden has had zero bump. In fact, the latest polls, which now we can say these polls have some accuracy, because if these polls didn't have some accuracy, they're outside of the margin for Joe Biden's machine to be able to make up for it. All the ballot chasing, all the voter registration, he is in crisis. So Joe Biden says, I'm not doing well. And my big plan to save my campaign is going to try to get Donald Trump on a debate stage earlier than later and to try to bait him to interrupt me, to make him look as if he is not presidential. And people will say, okay, I might not like the way Joe Biden is doing, but I don't want to live under Donald Trump. And we have to go back to 2020. Again, Joe Biden is now broadcasting his entire campaign strategy. Sometimes to keep this stuff private or secret, Joe Biden, he doesn't have time to put things in secret anymore. And by the way, let's not fool ourselves. This is unbelievably risky for Joe Biden too. I mean, Joe Biden could just flat out just combust. Remember, Joe Biden like yesterday called, you know, we got a bunch of erectionists taking over the country. No, seriously, like not insurrectionists. He said erectionists. You know, on his teleprompter, he says pause. The drug cocktail that he's going to put, Joe Biden is going to walk up to there and they should just say, Joe Biden, brought to you by Pfizer. Joe Biden, brought to you by Moderna. Joe Biden, brought to you by AstraZeneca. I mean, what they are pumping that guy full of is some sort of mixture of norepinephrine and adrenaline and some stabilizer. And they got the cocktail of drugs. I want to meet that chemist, by the way, that is responsible for the Joe Biden daily drug infusions. He's probably got IV therapy going here. He's got all sorts of different stuff. Okay. So it's a risk for Joe Biden too. We have to make sure that we acknowledge that. So the debates, Joe Biden thinks that you can get Donald Trump on TV, he's going to plummet in popularity. Well, not so fast, my friend. The only way this goes poorly for Trump, the only way, and I plan to call the president and tell him this, I plan to tell the campaign team, and I'm saying this publicly, the only way this goes bad is if you interrupt Joe Biden. That's the only way. I can say this as someone who has debated thousands and thousands of hours. No one likes an interrupter, period. And in the first presidential debate back in 2020, people say Donald Trump lost. First of all, he had COVID. We have to remember that. People say Donald Trump lost, and he wasn't 100%. He had COVID during the time. Because he interrupted. Now, remember, the rules say the mics will be off even when it's not their turn, but CNN is going to try to do a double shot and show Donald Trump. He would just be angry, yelling off screen without even his mic on, and that would probably even be worse. So just because the mics are cut doesn't mean that CNN would not try to maximize that as a way to hurt Trump. So the only way that I see this goes poorly is if Donald Trump gets angry because Joe Biden is a buffoon and he believes he should still be president, which is totally legitimate, and or he interrupts. Interruption could make Joe Biden look better. So when Joe Biden goes on and on, and he's muttering about how inflation is coming down and that the border is secure, it's okay, in my personal opinion, if President Trump kind of does the, you know, the famous meme where he kind of looks up and he's kind of rolling his eyes, perfectly fine. Or if he smiles. In fact, my advice to Donald Trump would be, don't be afraid to smile. Don't be afraid just to laugh. Don't be afraid just to shrug your shoulders. Allow your enemy to destroy himself while he's talking, because here is why. It's not as if the American people have not had a steady dose of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's numbers will not go up and they will not go down if he has a minute and a half uninterrupted just to meander about how the stock market is at record highs, yet people cannot afford rent. Allow him just to do that. It's fine. It is tempting. And I could say this, I'm not a professional debater, but I debate a lot. And I debate college kids. I debate professors. I debate all sorts of people. I debate people in the streets and debate whatever. Is that allow people to make their point. It's tempting not to. Allow them to just kind of get it out. And their big bet is this. Since Joe Biden is now in a crisis, and make no mistake, Joe Biden agreeing to a debate is him communicating to you that he's in crisis, that it is all out crisis, that this is not going well. And there's so many wrinkles to this because it tells you so much. Don't be shocked that if Joe Biden just crashes and burns, that might be his last chance. This might be Joe Biden's last chance before the Democrat regime pulls him out. The polling averages this last weekend from Decision Desk and The Hill. These are over 50 polls, 30 or 40 polls sometimes. Nevada, Trump up 6. Arizona, Trump up 6. Georgia, Trump up 6. North Carolina, Trump up 4.6. Michigan, Trump up 4. Pennsylvania, Trump up 1.7. Wisconsin, Trump up 0.8. So there's no reason to be cocky with this, but Joe Biden is now telling you and his entire team, we don't think things are trending well. And the backup opportunity for the Democrats is if Joe Biden bombs super hard in the debate, that's how they can finally force him out, and they think it's his only hope. So Joe Biden, not Trump, has a lot more to lose with this summer debate. Do I love the fact that we're doing a summer debate? I don't know. But attitudinally, I would rather have a campaign that plays to win than plays it safe. Okay, so two things I want to highlight here. Number one, here's why I love it. Strategically, it might not be the smartest thing for Trump to accept all these debates because he's up in the polls and he's favored in the prediction markets, but I dismiss all of that. Donald Trump is best. His movement is best when they play to win, when we play offense, when we are not just kind of sitting around waiting for things to happen, when we take the initiative, when we say, yes, sir, let's do it, when we set it on our terms. Now, going on CNN with, what do they have, like Jake Tapper or somebody moderating this? I missed it. Anderson Cooper or somebody moderating the debate? That's not on our terms. But what I mean is that playing offense generally helps Donald Trump. Donald Trump needs to have this belief. Very simple. You tie the game. No, you're down one. You're down seven. You score a touchdown with no time remaining. You go for two. You're not playing for overtime. You're not playing for just kick the extra point. You go for two. Donald Trump in 2016, he played like that and he won. He did more rallies. He visited the states. In 2020, you could make the argument his campaign team was a little more cautious, was not as much of a play to win. It was more of a conventional campaign. Didn't work out as well. Again, I believe that actually all things being equal, he should still be president. But again, didn't work out as well. So that the playing to win mentality, I really appreciate. And I think it's when Donald Trump is at his best. Some people are naturally great at offense. Some people are naturally great at defense. Some people are okay at both. Donald Trump is a purely offensive player. His whole life was about new deals, new developments, more speeches, more growth. Democrats, by the way, are not great at defense. Traditionally, it's Democrats that are playing offense. Traditionally, it's Democrats that are setting the engagement. This is one of the reasons, and Rush Limbaugh taught us this. Remember, the great Rush Limbaugh taught us this. They hate Trump because he plays offense against them and they have poor defense. They're not used to having to defend their positions. They're not used to having to play under our modus operandi. So playing to win. And finally, I like the idea that there will be lots of debates because remember, Donald Trump is crushing Joe Biden with low propensity voters. Low propensity voters are very hard to reach, very hard to chase their ballots. Debates are essentially mini Super Bowl viewing events that make it easier for us to expand the pool of voters, of people that are coming into the Trump fold. The plumbers, electricians, the welders, the working class Hispanics and blacks, the young men. When you have more programming on television that increases the awareness of the election, then you will have a one-to-one correlation between how many people view the debate and how many people turn out. It's almost a one-to-one. In fact, you can do an analysis of the most watched debates and the highest presidential turnout in the last 30 years. It's not a perfect science. There are some exceptions. But for example, some of the highest turnout that we've seen in 2008 with John McCain and Barack Obama, so people were so curious, who's this Obama guy? How is he going to do against this senator? And so for those of us that are trying to chase ballots of low propensity voters in states like Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania, people that are very, very difficult to reach, more debates and more programming on television increases turnout and hurts the Democrats. Traditionally, higher turnout hurts the Democrats, but the Democrats have plateaued because they've built such a sophisticated machine that there's only so many reservoirs of votes that they can then go frack or explore unless you're going to go after illegal alien voters. That's a whole separate topic for a different time. So when you have presidential programming, presidential debate programming that is viewed by 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 million people. That opens up the opportunity to allow us to chase ballots of low propensity voters. And that doesn't count all the social media cuts. This will be, without a doubt, these series of debates will be some of the most watched programming. Now, the CNN, not as much because it's not on network TV. I bet CNN will hit 15, 20 million people. The network ones, the CBS ones, I think they're doing one with CBS. That'll be 50 or 60 or 70 million people. So on average, it is a trap. I think Donald Trump can navigate it. He has to be ready for what they're going to throw at him. But all things being equal, this will be a net positive if we make it a net positive. We play to win, we play offense, and we seize victory. We just don't act as if it's going to land in our lap. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.